I just want to start with a verse from Isaiah 52, verse 7. For many of you, this is a familiar verse. It says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." And we had this amazing opportunity to again go to Brooklyn, do another mission trip among a Jewish community there, which is the second largest Jewish community outside of Israel. So a lot of people living there in Brooklyn alone, around 500,000 people, Jewish people are there. So a lot of people that need to hear the good news of Jesus and their Messiah as well as ours. And it's hard to sum up in short all that God has done. We've been there for a full week, Sunday through Saturday. Very active days. We had wonderful weather this time around. Except the only thing that wasn't wonderful was the traffic. With the World Cup happening, traffic was extra special, we can say. So I don't know if anybody's going to mention that in their sharing. Really doesn't matter, but just so you're aware, that was a big endurance part of our mission trip. So Kim, we'll have you come up first. So let's welcome Kim.
Hi. I didn't know what to expect. I just didn't know that I just knew that I was where I was supposed to be, and I was with the people that I was supposed to be there with. The Lord knows what he's doing. We came together with the love for God in our hearts and made friends for life. Although our purpose was clear, spreading Jesus with the Jewish people, what a task we had before us. From the time our plane touched down in New York, my senses were bombarded. The traffic, the architecture, the people, the smells, it was just overwhelming. Thank God Scott was there to navigate our way. Hi, Scott, if you're listening. Thank you so much. The Emmanuel House was our home base, and I was so grateful to have a safe place to go to. We were tasked with going out into the community and spreading the love of the Messiah to a people who missed the mark. That's our team, by the way. I'm so happy they went. They were with me. How do you do that? What do you say? What happens if? These questions were running rampant in my brain, and then I had to focus and remember my favorite life verses in Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. That's my favorite verses in the whole world, because it took my mind from being all over the place to finding out the right things to think about. As it turns out, the Lord had simple things for me, like handing out tracts. And in the background, you can see Peter, if you go to the next slide. Oh, that's the Emmanuel house that we stayed at. So there I am handing out a tract, and there's Peter in the background, my savior if I needed him. So he's watching over me. Peter had so much knowledge to give. His love and understanding for the Jewish people came through all the time. And he was so calm about it, too. And then the next picture. Oh, that's where I got this little stick. We were at the Marine Park, and my feet were killing me. And I was tasked for holding the sign that said, how can we pray for you? And this was underneath my feet, and I had the Lord put it there so I could rub my feet, and I didn't have to worry. So after a long learning, a day of learning, and going to the soup kitchen and the food pantry, which happened to be my favorite activity of the whole trip, because I love serving people, we were there to serve. So I just love doing that. I wish we could have stayed there longer. Then we went to an outreach at Marine Park, and that's where we are right there. And our board said, how can we pray for you? After that, we went back to the Emmanuel house and had dinner. And my wonderful team had a cake for me for my birthday. I felt so blessed. And then the next one, my new friend Kelly and I are sitting at the table for the Shabbat dinner. I've never actually experienced anything like that before. What a privilege it is to be a part of it. Altogether, this whole experience has had a lasting impression on me, an experience that I want to do over and over again. God has given us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to encourage with, hands to be able to hold another's, arms to hug the hurting, knees to bend before him, and feet to go when he asked you to go. He gave us a head to bow in prayer and a heart to love his people. Thank you.
Okay, well, I have had a deep love for the Jewish people for a long time. I have tried to learn about them, and I always came across these stumbling blocks that just things didn't make sense to me. And on this trip, I got some clarification. This picture seems, the up in the blue, you see this sign that says the Messiah has come. The Orthodox Jews believe that rabbi there is the Messiah. Our friend Scott here, he was leading our trip, and if you see by the street signs, there's a couple of police officers. There was at one point a car there, so they have the road in front of this synagogue blocked off with a police presence and an ambulance posted out front at all times to curb the the violence and stuff, and they're ready for anything that happens. Next slide. This was one of my favorites. This is known as 770 Parkway Synagogue. Anyway, this is where that rabbi lived and worked. Okay, so one of the things that I didn't understand is how they could think that this guy is the Messiah. I went to the Chabad website, and this is the sort of leader they think the Mashiach will be, which is a word for Messiah. Mashiach will be a man who possesses extraordinary qualities. He will be proficient in both the written and oral Torah traditions. He will incessantly campaign for Torah observance among Jews and observance of the seven universal Noahide laws by non-Jews. He will be scrupulously observant and encourage the highest standards from others. He will defend religious principles and repair breaches in their observance. Above all, Mashiach will be heralded as a true Jewish king, a person who leads the way in the service of God, totally humble yet enormously inspiring. If we go to the next slide, this rabbi came into leadership towards the end of World War II, and he pretty much single-handedly regrew the Orthodox faith. This here, This is a phone room where they would connect to all different states and countries worldwide so that they could hear the reading of the Torah or be able to ask that rabbi questions. We had, if you go to the next slide, this gentleman up in front, that's Levi, or Levi. He gave us a little spiel in that phone room about the rabbi and all the things that he had done. I asked if he had done miracles, and I wouldn't say that he did miracles like Jesus, but he did things that were positively inspiring, and I now understand a little bit more of this. He was very influential. Let me see if I can find my notes here. Also, we learned that Judaism is not just a race or a religion. It is a system of behavior, a way of life. Like, they weave doctrine, the Torah, and tradition, which is from the Talmud, and Kabbalah, which is their New Age mysticism, and it's all weaved together in their culture. So that's kind of where I kept running into speed bumps when I was looking up Judaism. I would always run into this Kabbalah stuff, and it never made any sense to me. Next slide. Okay, this is when we were passing out tracts. The lady on this side here, she was a Russian Jew. We were speaking with her husband. He had pointed out his broken nose at all the times that he had been beat up in Russia for being a Jew. He did talk to us, me and Peter, a little bit about the anti-Semitism that he had been on the receiving end of. And this other gal, I think her name was Myrna, she was from Trinidad. She was already a believer, but she was talking about her and her son had tracked their lineage back to David's line. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was a good conversation. next slide. Oh, okay. On the far side, Peter is holding up a Talmud. I don't know if you can see it very well, but in the center is a long block. That is the Torah script itself, the law. And then around the edges of it, there's more writing, and each one of those little blocks is a different commentary from a different rabbi, which is actually, it's like a visual of the fences that they have built around the law, which I thought was just super cool to see that visually. The floor, go back to the floor. The floor is in a different synagogue. I don't know if you can see, there's little warping in the floor, and that is from years and years of gentlemen rocking back and forth while they're praying. And they do that because it incorporates their whole body into the prayer, and it mimics the shaking, the tremor and awe that they had from on Mount Sinai when they received the law. So I thought that was pretty cool. Next slide. This was a rabbi that we ran into in a kosher pastry shop. That was my favorite times, is when we spoke with the Jewish people and they told us themselves about their beliefs and why they believe the things and they do, and I don't know, that was my favorite. Next thing. Oh, that's the setup for our Shabbat dinner. I think it's lovely. It reminds me of a wedding dinner, which is, you know, we want to be at that final wedding feast. Next one. Oh, okay, I don't know if you can see this at all. There is a wire. Oh, at the end of the driveway, there is a wire, like, it's creating a boundary for the Shabbat so that they can carry things from their private property to the synagogue, like their prayer books, or push their strollers with their kids in it. Another fence around the rules. My favorite food was the pastrami Reuben from Cat's Deli. And worst thing was the traffic. Gave me severe anxiety. It's crazy. And main streets of New York City, they don't know what to do with a happy, smiling face. Friendly people, they don't know. Yeah, that's all I got.
All agree that the Reuben was the best. Katz's Deli. It was wonderful. Just want to say good evening to all of you guys, and good evening to our brothers and sisters in Brooklyn. Thank you for hosting us. It was a wonderful time. And as far, just for before I forget, the traffic, yeah, that was not fun, but Scott, you were an amazing driver, so thank you for that. I don't know how you did it, but you were wonderful. Okay, this trip to Brooklyn was definitely filled with a lot of learning, fellowship, sharing of the gospel, and also developing relationships. In the morning, go ahead. In the morning, we learned a lot about the Jewish people and Judaism. We learned about things like the history of Jewish-Christian relations, anti-Semitism, and how to do outreach to the Jewish communities. In the afternoons, we did some of the outreach in the communities by handing out tracts, and I did bring those tracts up here if you want to look at them afterwards. It was a great opportunity to see people and learn how they go about their daily life. Yeah, and these are some of the ultra-Orthodox Jewish people. Everywhere. And it wasn't really, really hot, but it wasn't cool either. So I don't know. This is what they do though. And it's normal for them to wear all these clothes. And the women too, I don't have pictures of the women really, but they're really covered up as well. So one of the other things that we did was stencil on the sidewalks with spray chalk. Yep. That was part of sharing the gospel in a unique way. People would like step aside and look up the website. Some people were receptive, but some people just kind of quietly walked away. I don't know if they liked it or not, but we got a pretty positive response, and it was fun to do it. It says in search of shalom, and then you can just, any of you can go look it up if you like. I thought that was just really fun, and I really got into it, so. Okay. One of the days, we went to the 770 Synagogue. Jamie already talked about that. Yeah, that's inside of it. It is the world headquarters of the Shabbat. Not say this right, Lubavitch Hasidic movement. While we were there, Scott was able to wear the tefillin. If you can, next one. Yeah. The tefillin are normally worn during weekday morning prayers by many Jewish men as a sign of devotion and obedience to God's word. It is actually a direct commandment from the Torah. It symbolizes binding God's word to the mind. So there's the box on the head and the heart. So they put it on their wrist. And it is a physical expression of worship and covenant faithfulness that is only for the Jewish people. So he was the only one that did that. And then Wednesday, we went to the Eldridge Street Synagogue and Museum. Yeah. So the first one is us before we even went in, and then there's different parts of it, but the pictures up here that I've that I'm sharing, as you can see, it just really put an impression on me. Took my breath away, actually, and we got to learn a lot about this place. And the floors that Jamie showed were inside of here. That was just, it was really, really cool to be there and stand there. And I just imagined myself having been there. I don't know, it was pretty cool. It was completed in 1887 and restored fully in the early 2000s. It is 139 years old. We learned about the history of the synagogue and how the Jewish people immigrated from Europe and Asia. This one really surprised me with my emotional reaction. I just, I couldn't explain it. You have, just kind of have to be there. Another place we visited and had a deep impact on me was the Museum of Jewish Heritage. This is about the Holocaust. In here, I learned more about it, about the Holocaust. There was a lot of history and evidence of the unthinkable event in history. So these are like actual stone and I don't think you can see it very well on that left one, but there's like a little button that was taken from one of the crematoriums, like where they, I don't even like saying it, but yeah, a lot of evidence. I left the building and I really needed a lot of time with my thoughts. It was just overwhelming to see all of that. I had a lot of emotions, including anger. Anger at the people who have denied the Holocaust, because there are people that have denied it. Shock at the videos that they played in there. They were talking about survivors of the Holocaust. And sadness, also, about the evil in this world. And I'm really glad they have this museum. And I think if you ever go to New York, you should visit it, because it's important to remember. So Thursday and Friday, we did more outreach. Friday, we did a prayer walk to a local bakery and bought desserts for Shabbat dinner that night. Jamie shared the picture of the bakery. That was really fun to do that. I thought the Shabbat was a precious way to end our week, sharing food, singing beautiful music, and doing even a Bible study. That was really neat. And
I just want to close with this verse, Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all.
That is for everybody, for the Jewish people, too, first, actually. And I just, my takeaway from that is we need to remember that. It's first for the Jews, and then for us. God, as he always does, did a work in my heart in Brooklyn for the Jewish people. As I learned more about the Old Testament and history of God's chosen, God showed me his love for them and us, the Gentile. God's Abrahamic covenant is a promise to the Jewish people. God cannot break his promises. He loves them very much. He also has promised from the beginning to send us a Savior, to rescue us from our sin, a descendant from the line of David. He has established a new covenant to deal with our sin problem. He prophesied about this, and we know this because today we are saved by the grace of God through Jesus Christ from our sin. There is hope for us all through our Messiah, Yeshua. My hope is for God's chosen to know this hope that we know, for the scales to be removed from their eyes, just as the scales have been removed from mine. We only get to heaven by the grace of God, not by our works. What good news. So I ask all of you here and watching, do you know Yeshua? If not, today is the day. He loves you so much that he died and rose again for you, just as God promised from the very beginning. He wants to know you in a very personal way, in a loving relationship that grows you closer to him. Again, I say, what good news. And if you already know him, remember that we are to be the salt and the light, shining his beautiful love for others to see so that they may know him too. Thank you.
First of all, I want to say thank you to the Life and Messiah staff in Brooklyn. It was such a blessing to stay at Emmanuel House. Peter and Alika, they were so, so sweet, and they have such a heart for the Jewish people. They absolutely love what they're doing there. They moved their entire family from the Netherlands just to live in Brooklyn, which is a completely different environment and a completely different language. That is how much they love these people. And I want to say thank you to Scott, who was an amazing guide and so knowledgeable. It was such a blessing to go on this trip and to just experience Brooklyn. I have never, ever been anywhere quite like Brooklyn, and I will never be anywhere like there ever again. And I had a wonderful team, so they were incredible. But they really were. So the first picture I have, in the morning, every morning except for Wednesday, we'd get up, we'd have breakfast, and then we'd have a Bible study, then we'd have a short break, we'd have a session either taught by Peter or Scott, and then we'd have another session after that, and after that we would go out and do our ministry for the day. And the sessions, they were so... I learned so much. I learned so much about the Jewish people, about the Jewish culture, and I left, and I was like, well, now I know why people go to Bible college, because I'd come away from sessions, and I'm like, well, I wish we had more time just to learn. I want to do stuff, but I would love to sit here and just learn all the time. There was so, like, they knew so much, and we were free to ask questions. I never felt, like, silly to ask, hey, I want to know this. They were so, everybody was just like, oh, of course, let me explain. And they always had scripture to back it up, which, of course, is a really good thing. The next picture, this was the first day we went out into the ultra-Orthodox community. And you have on the far right two Jewish men, the one in the all black, he is Hasidic. They're the most strict Orthodox Jews. The men always dress in black like that, with the hats and everything, no matter what the weather's like. And then the other man in the suit, he is Litvish. They're slightly less strict, but still very Orthodox in their beliefs. And you see them just intermingled with each other. And then the women there, they're all, you can't really tell with the women. They kind of blend with each other. But all the women, you can definitely tell they are wearing wigs if they're married, because that's the traditional thing. And the girls, if they're not, they usually have their hair pulled in ponytails. But they're beautiful people. They're so beautiful, and they're so nice. They're so friendly, and they're so sweet, and they have such a strong desire to know God. They want it so bad. The relationship with God is the most important thing for them. They believe that the highest thing you can achieve in life is to always be studying the Torah, the Talmud, and they're so close to the truth, and they want that relationship so badly, but they're so far away at the same time, and that is one thing that just made me so sad for the people, and I would pray, and I still pray, because if they were Christians, they would be the best Christians. They study so much, and God and just the Torah and the Talmud and tradition, of course, is just a really big part of their life. Next picture, This was one of our outreach days, which was super fun. We have Kim and Jamie with Peter in the first picture. They were by the station. They were handing out tracts. And then the picture on the right is Kat. Kat, my dad, Peter, and I, we went and we got to do stenciling. It was so much fun. We got to have some really good interactions with some young Jewish kids, some older Jewish people, and Kat was really, really good at the stenciling. Like, I did it. It was fun, but she, like, professional level. She'd do it, and they were beautiful. I wish I had more pictures because some of them were just pure works of art. And it was so fun to do something that was artistic, but that would definitely catch people's eyes. Like, we were walking back after we had finished, and you could see across the street, people would stop, and they're like, oh, what's this? And so it was really clever. Next pictures. This was on Wednesday. We went to this Alger Street synagogue, and it was beautiful, like immaculately beautiful. Everywhere you looked, there were details and more details. There was just so much stuff to look at. I feel like we did not have enough time to see everything that there was. But that stained glass window, my favorite part of the whole synagogue. That's why I have two pictures of it. But the craftsmanship there is gorgeous. They are such creative people. It's in everything. It's in the literature. It's in the food, their culture. Everything is such a rich history. They have such an incredibly rich history, and I was blessed to be able to experience it. The next picture. This was my favorite out of anything we did. I love serving people. And working in the soup kitchen, I knew that what I was doing directly what it would go to. And it was fun to just serve with other people. And I love working with food, and I love making things, and I like, you know, cooking. So it was really fun. And it was really nice to just do something a little bit different from the ordinary. You think about a mission trip, you don't always think about making food for other people. Usually your team, but not necessarily. Like the soup kitchen, they serve a wide variety of Jewish people, from ultra-Orthodox to just normal. So that was really fun. Next picture. This was above, in the room where we had our sessions every morning, was above the whiteboard. And I see it every morning, and one of these days I'm like, I have to take a picture of this, because I love it. I mean, you think about traditional verse kids memorize, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For everyone. Jewish people too. God's not done with the Jewish people, and sadly some people believe that. But that, just think about, because so many people live there. So many people. And people who don't live there, they commute there. And there's just millions of people. One person can make a big impact. It may not seem like a lot in the short term, but in the end, you never know who you reach. So that spoke to me. Let's see, what's next? Shabbat dinner on Friday was incredible. I've never experienced something quite like it. In the morning, we got to go to the kosher pastry shop and pick up pastries. But the dinner itself was just a testament to the richness of the Jewish culture. There was so much tradition in everything we did, but we also had the added benefit of having a Bible study, have everything tied back to who it really, it's all for. It's all for God. And so I will end by saying, I have never experienced anything like this. And it was eye-opening, and I was scared to go, I'm not going to lie, because Brooklyn's big, and I don't like traveling that much, but I would go back again in a heartbeat. If I ever have a chance to go again, I will. So, as an encouragement to you, if you ever have just an inkling, maybe I'd like to go on a mission trip, do it. Seriously. Thank you.
That's awesome. As you can see, we had an all-star female crew for this outreach. So men, next year, you better show up. Now, it was a truly wonderful time and grateful for everybody on the team. You can put the first slide. Obviously, this is the team, but big part of the team were, as you heard, Scott, Peter, and other guys from Life in Messiah who were there on and off. Jeff, who would join us online, who was in Netherlands doing ministry there where the Jewish people would zoom in a couple of times to teach his sessions for us. So it was just a wonderful kind of a connection that we had with the team. And especially, again, for Scott, for some of you who are familiar, our missionary Scott Schwartz, his dad passed away not even a week before we were to do this mission trip. So we were not even certain that he's going to make it for that. And he ended up coming and joining, and it was such a wonderful time with him. It was very personal in many ways for all of us. And I think everybody on the team really appreciated the fact that he was with us and was willing to just do what he would normally do, but with that weight of losing a father. So not an easy thing. So please continue to keep him in prayer. Things are still not completely closed. The memorial service is coming up in a couple of weeks, I think. So just keep him in your prayers. But wonderful, wonderful opportunity again. In the next slide, you will see again that those morning sessions were really important part of what we were doing there. Without them, they really wouldn't be, we wouldn't be as effective as a team going out into the community, because they provided a good foundation and understanding for the things that we will be encountering. So as you might be familiar with the Old Testament, if you're here, right, we go through the Old Testament verse by verse, chapter by chapter, right, Pastor David, from Genesis onwards. Nonetheless, there's an important link that needs to be made with Old Testament and the Jewish culture today, that there is obviously a disconnect that they have related to the oral tradition. In their minds, the oral tradition is as equally as important as the written law. So in the next picture, as you see, that's that bookstore. It's a Jewish bookstore. Pretty much 80% of the books are in Hebrew. Peter, that's one of the missionary, he is holding a Talmud in his hands, and as already was previously pointed out by Jamie, in the center of Talmud, there's a part of Torah, and around it, there's multiple commentaries, obviously, by different rabbis from different periods, Mishnahs included in this and so forth. And this is part of their culture. This is as important as everything else. So to be able to effectively minister, there needs to be some form of understanding where they are coming from and what they're thinking, and visiting synagogues, visiting different places, learning about their understanding and their views of what is Judaism and so forth, helps us as Christians to communicate the gospel effectively. There's obviously passages like Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, and onwards that we can use in sharing of the gospel, but we also have now a better understanding why for them there's some resistance and why there's ultimately a veil over their eyes, and that's because the veil of tradition is there. In the next picture, on the left, you will see Scott is sharing the gospel with one of the men in front of that synagogue that we mentioned, 770. It's a synagogue, it's a yeshiva, it's a school where young men are being trained in Torah and Talmud. Some spend pretty much their whole day there. Some are spending most of their life there. So for men, because it's a high value on studying the Torah, studying the Talmud, they would spend most of their time in there and then some time working. That means that women often are the main breadwinners in family. And so that's where we are. Scott, this is what he does. It's funny with Scott, as soon as he sees a Jewish man, he just lights up. He just wants to talk to them. So he always would say, there's something wrong with me. Anybody can pass me and I don't notice them. And as soon as I see an Orthodox man, it just lights up. And that was the case even now when we were there. And then on the right, Scott and I had an opportunity to talk to this one man in Williamsburg, part of Brooklyn, one of the Jewish communities. And we had a really, really interesting conversation. If you want to know more about it, talk to me afterwards. But very fascinating time with him. Now, the next slide will be actually a short video, so hopefully it will work and you will hear sound, but that is in that 770 synagogue. So ladies could not go in. This is men-only area, and children are allowed, obviously, if they're accompanied with their dads or brothers or so forth. But you will get to see part of it, and this is a section where they have their continual prayer. So this is nonstop prayer that's happening, and the man that's leading, that's what he does the whole day. Just has a book in front of him, and he just reads from it and prays, and others will kind of join in and leave, but he leads it. So you'll get to see that. No sound. Okay, there we go. You can play it again, so, because maybe the sound will work then. Next slide. So that's this is all in that same place. So there's hundreds of predominantly young men there. This was around 2 or 3 in the afternoon. So they're there studying Talmud in particular. And again, it was kind of a privilege. I was pretty much, well, not pretty much, I'm pretty sure I was the only Gentile in there. So it was kind of a special to be there. And they were quite welcoming to have me there, and but this kind of gives you an idea. This is their life, right, as everybody was sharing. And so it's not an easy ministry. Obviously, if you listen to Scott when he comes here and shares about it, or if you're familiar with it, Jewish ministry is not an easy ministry. Trying to bring the gospel to them is not an easy thing. Yet it is very much necessary, because if you know, look at Romans, we know that verse in Romans 1:16 where he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." And that's where 99% of the people stop, right? That's because that's true. But then he says, "For the Jew first, and also for the Greek." The gospel was first preached to them, right? Jesus came to the Jewish people, and they were the ones who resisted it. They were the ones who opposed them. There's a hardness of heart, and Paul talks about it in Romans. So it's not an easy ministry, yet such an essential, important ministry. So Scott and others who are part of Life in Messiah, or Jews for Jesus, and other ministries that minister to the Jewish community there in New York and New Jersey, they're doing very important work and very difficult work, yet they are persisting in doing it. So keep them in your prayers. Now, the next one is, I'll just want to touch on this a little bit. So there was some mention about anti-Semitism. So this will give you a little bit better understanding. So that's that synagogue. So behind Kim, there's an ambulance. Then to the left, then the middle, that's a police station permanently parked there, another ambulance. Then further to the right, which you cannot see, there's another police station that's set up over there. The barricade that Jamie was referring to is to the left of this picture, and the police is all around. This is 24/7. And the only way to access that road between those vehicles and the synagogue is only if you live there or if you are going inside a synagogue. But like, we couldn't park there. We had to park somewhere else. So it's only for residents and those who are involved with the synagogue directly. Now, the next one, I just wanted to, that's in the Holocaust Museum. It's kind of hard to tell, but if you kind of focus on it, you'll see a lot of dots. It's hard to, again, tell from the picture, but some are black and some are darker. Those are all concentration camps during World War II. And there's a massive number of them. The black ones are specifically called death camps. That's what they were predominantly for. And as just a reminder of that not so long ago history, there is anti-Semitism that's very much real, and people have felt justified in killing Jews in the past, and they feel justified killing Jews today. And as Christians, we obviously have to stand up against it. It is our calling, whether we like it or not, but in any form of violence against any group obviously is not okay, but we have to recognize that Jews have been targeted in millions, even to this day, and many of them, even in Brooklyn, in other areas, have experienced it since October 7th, 2023. Anti-Semitic attacks in North America alone have increased over 200%. It's not a joke. Many places you go, there's continual police presence, barricades, and different things. There's a lot more that could be said, but I'll leave it at that. The next picture, I just want to, it's a good summary of everything that's being done. Every day there was an opportunity to be outside, preach the gospel, meet with people, pass out tracts, do different things. And it's a wonderful opportunity, again, to be in the community, to bring hope of Christ to all people, specifically Jewish people. Now, one of the things that wasn't shared is that when we were out in New York, there was mentioned that they experienced New York, but there was also gestures that were experienced from some of New Yorkers. But everybody had a smile on their face. So that was awesome. So I'm proud of the team for that. Now, my last picture before I kind of close is with my daughter. And that was a special thing that we got to go together on this mission trip. And she turned 18, and there's a future for her that eventually does not involve our direct family. She'll have her own family. So I was really appreciative of the fact that we got to be together and sharing this time and be part of this same mission trip. She's been a missionary herself. We were missionaries. She knows what it's like, but this was a special one for me, so I'm really, really grateful for this opportunity that I had with her. And I'll just close with a couple of scriptures. In Romans 10, Paul says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. That was his specific calling, but one of the things we see with Paul, that everywhere he went, to whom did he go first? To the Jews. That's why in Romans 1:16, he says, to the Jew first. If there was a synagogue, he would go to synagogue. If there was no synagogue, he would still try to go to places where there will be Jewish people. His heart was for the Jewish people, and he had an opportunity of sharing the gospel with the Jewish people, and yes, he was rejected many of the times, but he loved them so much that he said that he was willing to be accursed for their sake. If he could go to hell and they all would be saved, he would gladly do that. Talk about a love for his own people. And I think expresses the heart of God, right, that he has for all people, and that's all especially for Jewish people. They are special in more than one way. In Romans 11:25-32, he says this, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel." Not all, right? Scott, he's a Messianic Jew, many are, but we pray for more. "Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." So we have promise that this investment into Jewish people is not futile. One day all of them will be saved. But for now, there is blindness, and we do our part. Even as Gentiles, we have an amazing privilege of bringing the gospel. And just a side thing, if you ever wonder, why should we as Gentiles preach the gospel to the Jewish people? Why didn't just Messianic Jews do that? And they do that. But some statistics show that vast majority of the Jews that become followers of Jesus, of the true Messiah, come through the testimony of the Gentiles. So your witnessing to them, your prayer for them, makes a difference. He says, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So God is not done with them, as he points out. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet have now obtained mercy through their disobedience, even so these also have now been disobedient, that through the mercy shown you, they also may obtain mercy. For God has committed them all to disobedience, that he might have mercy on all. God's not done, and God's using us. And what a blessing it was, again, as a team, to go there, to be part of what Scott in particular is doing in Brooklyn, in New Jersey, to bring the gospel, but also to share time with our missionary. Again, it was such a blessing to spend time with him, bring encouragement, share in daily life, experience what he experiences on a daily basis, and have a new appreciation for how important this ministry is. So thank you all for praying for us. Thank you all for keeping us in your prayers through that mission trip. And for those of you who have even contributed financially towards this, we are grateful for you. And we have many new opportunities of upcoming mission trips. So we obviously have one coming up in August that's already set for Ukraine. And then at the end of August, beginning of September, we have a Mexico mission trip going to Ensenada. That's not closed yet. So if you're interested in it, come and talk to me. And with that, let us pray. Father, we thank you for, again, this evening, and just hearing from everybody on the team how you have used them, how you have spoken to them, how you have encouraged them. And Lord, you're amazing. It's so wonderful to hear how you are impacting our own lives as we make that step of faith, deciding to leave the comfort of our home, go somewhere where we may be uncomfortable. Things may be different and strange and challenging. Yet, Lord, when we step out in faith, we see you do amazing things. Lord, you have called us to this trip, and we are so grateful for that. We give you praise for all the great things that were accomplished and all the things that we have learned and seen and experienced. And I do pray that we will continue to keep Scott, Life and Messiah team, and Jewish people in our prayers. Lord, we thank you that you are working in Brooklyn, you're working in New Jersey, you're working everywhere. But we're so grateful that we get to see in this particular work on earth among the Jewish people what you're doing. So, Lord, we pray that the blindness will be removed, Lord, that that veil will be removed so they could see the truth. And may you bless Scott and his wife Corey and their ministry, Lord, as they continue to faithfully serve your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.